Hey Bulls Nation, welcome back to another episode of the Rebuildable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile, and there's a bit of optimism in the air right now. Yeah, the Bulls, through 11 games, are 4-7. Yeah, they only have won 4 out of 11 games, but yet we feel optimistic. They're coming off of a 3-game losing streak, yet we feel optimistic. Why? Because we're seeing some of these players start to grow. And we're starting to see this team collectively grow together. And that's always a good feeling. Now, coming out of the gate, I've said this multiple times on some of our previous episodes, that it's been a bit of a grind. And they've faced some tough opponents. In fact, on this recent West Coast trip, they had to go against Portland, the Kings, the Lakers, the defending world champs, and the Clippers. Those are not easy opponents to face on the road, yet the Bulls hung tough against those teams. They got the win against Portland at the beginning of the trip, and they found themselves in the last 3 games in the final possessions. I think they let that Kings one get away from them. While it would have been nice to knock off the Lakers and the Clippers, they still hung with them. Look, those teams are championship contending teams, the Lakers and the Clippers, and the Bulls were in those games in the final possessions. The Bulls have a long way to go until they reach that level, but we're starting to see some positives, and it's evident that these guys are buying into Billy Donovan right now, and that is beautiful to see. You know, in part 2 of our season preview this year, I had Doug Tonis on, and Doug kind of bristled when I brought up the impact of Billy Donovan and what he can mean to this team. And I got what Doug was saying. Doug's point was that in the NBA, coaching isn't necessarily the end-all be-all. It really comes down to the players you have on your roster. Usually the best players in the league win. So if your roster has some of the best superstar, all-star talent, that's what matters. The players matter. And I totally agree with that. But I agree with that when we're talking about perennial playoff teams and championship contenders. And like I said, the Bulls aren't there yet. And this is where coaching matters. When you have a team full of young players who don't necessarily know where their ceilings are yet in this league. Like, we don't know where some of these guys' max potential's at. And that's what's exciting. And that's where good coaching comes into play. And we're starting to see some guys buy in. Zach LaVine's buying in. I think that's pretty evident. Zach LaVine has taken to what Billy Donovan's selling him. And I'll point to an example. When the Bulls got a nice home victory against the Luka Doncic-less Dallas Mavericks, you remember Zach LaVine went off in the first half of that game scoring-wise. They win that game, and afterwards, Billy Donovan says that he said that Zach LaVine's aggressiveness doesn't always have to be with high-volume scoring. He doesn't have to take on the scoring load himself. It could be as a distributor. It could be on the defensive end of the floor. It could be doing things off ball. That next game that they played against Portland on the road was a perfect example of where he did that. He became a facilitator in that game. He had some key defensive moments in that game. And I think that was one of the best games I ever saw Zach LaVine play in a Bulls jersey. And yes, he's had many masterful performances offensively. Like, there was a game last year against Charlotte where he was red hot. We've seen some of these games recently on this West Coast trip where he's been, you know, much more efficient from the floor scoring-wise. But in that game against Portland, watching him almost be a complete package on the floor was so awesome to see. And it is really cool to kind of see him embrace that from Billy Donovan. We've seen Wendell Carter embrace his role on this team. We've seen Patrick Williams really respond to the challenges Billy Donovan's giving him every night on the defensive end of the floor. Patrick Williams is going up against Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James. These are two of the top 5 players in the whole league, and he's letting him go at him. And this kid's showing that he can at least hang tough with him. And he's showing you that he has some flashes on the offensive end of the floor. And he's always willing to give you an effort on the defensive end of the floor, too. And some of the other guys that we're seeing here, Coby White, you know, there's been some uneven play, but I think he's embracing his role a little bit more, and he's still going to give you those flashes offensively every night. I really dig what I'm seeing from some of the veterans on the team. Thaddeus Young is embracing his role off the bench, which we know he was sort of not necessarily embracing last year under Jim Boylan, but it seems like he's really embracing the role that Billy Donovan's giving him. Garrett Temple, I thought, was a throwaway signing when it happened this offseason, and he's really come through as a solid player off the bench. So I'm really excited, even though, again, they're just 4-7, but I like what I see. The eye test is telling me that this team could be turning a corner, and we'll see what happens. When Lauri Markkanen and Tomas Satoransky get back, those are two valuable additions to that rotation. Now, I know that they've had some good chemistry going on right now, and I've seen some tweets from Bulls Nation where they're concerned that some of that chemistry and the rotations that we've seen could get scrambled a bit with those two being added. But I'm cool adding two solid players back to the roster and seeing if they can actually grow from it. Because, look, the schedule gets a little bit softer as we get into February. So if the Bulls can get on a bit of a winning streak, I think this team actually could make some noise and compete within that bottom portion of the Eastern Conference playoff picture. So we'll see. I have with us today Ryan Borja. He's a contributor with Bulls Confidential, and you can find him on Twitter at Ryan Borja, B-O-R-J-A. And he's a great follow. If you want to get some really well thought out, nuanced takes during games, after games, during the off season, talking about cap situations and what kind of signings make sense and how all that works, Ryan is one of the best follows that you can get if you're a hardcore Bulls fan. So let's bring him in right now. Ryan, how are you? And you staying safe out there, my friend?
Yeah, man, I'm doing pretty good. Just staying home mostly and watching NBA games. Unfortunately, we were robbed of our Bulls game tonight. That's okay. That's why I'm here talking to you.
Yeah, that's kind of surreal. But, you know, this is the pitfall of not playing in a bubble this time around, right? You got to deal with the circumstances that come with it. And it looks like now they're adding more regulations to keep this kind of small outbreak from happening.
Yeah, I think we got a little spoiled with the bubble. But unfortunately, it's kind of back to reality a little bit. Hopefully, the NBA can just kind of get through these kind of dog months, and it should get a lot better moving forward.
So right now, before you had hopped on, I mentioned that it's the weirdest feeling right now, I think, for me as a Bulls fan, because I feel so optimistic, despite the fact that really the Bulls have won 4 of 11 games and are riding a 3-game losing streak, yet I feel so good about it. How do you feel right now, Ryan, about where the Bulls are through these first 11?
It's hard not to feel good. I think one, especially after the first, specifically 2 games where they weren't even in it really after the second half. And, you know, even though they lost that Golden State game, it was a competitive game. And I think mainly the offense has been so much better than it was last year. And I think that's kind of helped with some of the confidence you see these players start to show on the court. And then also after the classic West Coast trip, I mean, the Bulls could have easily been 5-0 against 2 of the LA teams that are obviously contenders. So it's hard not to feel good about the Bulls, even if they are 4-7, because we're seeing some things that were better.
And one of the things that I've been really impressed with so far has been the play of Zach LaVine. I thought he was coming off of a solid 2020 season, but there's been a lot that I've liked out of him. I've seen the scoring volume is still there, but I don't know. I think he's doing a little bit better on the defensive end of the floor, especially in situations where he's on ball. Still struggling off ball, but seems to be a little more engaged on ball defensively. And in the facilitating factor of the game, I think he's actually played pretty well with them kind of undermanned at that point guard spot. What are your thoughts just on Zach LaVine's play so far through this first point of the season?
I think the Zach we saw on the West Coast trip recently is probably the best version of Zach LaVine we've ever seen. And then, the offense, like you said, he shot 11 threes a game and hit it at a 45% clip on that West Coast trip. That's really impressive, maybe unsustainable. But the main thing that impressed me the most, though, was he averaged over 6 assists per game. And he just seemed to – I don't want to say he's trying to get his players more involved, but I think he's just getting more comfortable, mainly, one, within that Billy Donovan's offense, and just, two, just having the ball in his hands and being that playmaker. And it's slowly but surely reflecting on the court. You said his defense has also improved. I mean, it'll probably always be frustrating, but one of the things I liked in that game one, he said, "I'm taking Trae Young." You know, he seems to be he wants to be a good defender. He understands where it's a weakness of his, and he's putting in a lot of work. You know, and he might always be frustrating off ball, but as long as he's putting in the effort and making small improvements, that's all you could really ask for.
Who else have you been really impressed with so far to kick off this year?
Oh, well, Patrick Williams. You know, I can't say I had a lot of expectations coming into the season because I haven't watched much of Florida State basketball or college basketball in general. But Patrick Williams, I think, has definitely shown he was worth the investment of the fourth overall pick. And all the things that the new front office spoke about, the way he can play both positions, the two-way player, he's got an NBA body. He seems to have a really good knack for the game. He's 19 years old. He's really young. There's a lot of room to grow with Patrick Williams. I like a lot of the things we've seen with him so early on in his career.
Yeah, and getting some praise from LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, certainly I think if you're a Bulls fan, you kind of like hearing things like that when it comes from two of the better players in the league. But, you know, the thing with him, the guy's giving you max effort, it seems like, every night. And it's on both ends of the floor. I'm always impressed with rookies that can come out of the gate and play above average defense. And this guy almost has, like, the ability to... I mean, he's got the guts to go after some of the better players on these other teams and at least hold his own, which you got to give him a lot of credit for, and I think he's only going to get better.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, one thing I forgot to mention is, you know, the Bulls have put him on players like Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi, and it's not like the Bulls have Thaddeus Young who could take that responsibility just as well, but the Bulls have so much trust, and obviously they're trying to grow Patrick Williams, but they also have a trust within Patrick Williams to take those matchups and, you know, believe that he can at least make it difficult for those players. And I think he's done a great job, as best as he can at this point in his career.
And another player that I think has been responding to, kind of, he came out of the gate a little rough this season, and I think he's responded to some of Billy Donovan's coaching, is Wendell Carter. Seems like he's a lot more comfortable in the flow of the offense lately. Hasn't had the defensive lapses we saw earlier in the season. Do you think that Wendell Carter can sustain what he's doing, especially on the offensive end of the floor?
I always thought he was... I thought the last 2 years, Boylan specifically, you know, it was almost like he's just a back-to-the-basket player, rim runner, pick-and-roll player. And that was really all they kind of expected out of Wendell Carter Jr. And I love that Billy Donovan is trying to expand his game and get him more comfortable doing more. And I think you saw earlier on, he was struggling a little bit with that. He wasn't comfortable maybe shooting a little bit too many threes, but as the season has progressed, he gets more and more comfortable, especially at the high post running the offense. The team seems to run well around him. I definitely think it's sustainable. And there's a reason why Billy Donovan is allowing him to do this, because he believes it's also sustainable.
Another player that I think a lot of Bulls fans are keeping their eye on right now is Coby White. Now, he's had some games coming out of the gate here where he scored a lot of points. And he's been so-so as a facilitator. Do you see any growth right now with him, or is he kind of the same Coby that you saw late in 2020?
There's little growth. The biggest problem with Coby White is just there has to be patience. We're asking a player that naturally, he clearly is more comfortable scoring the basketball, playing off ball. I think Coby White's biggest strength is his shooting. And you see that when he's playing off ball and he's just allowed to spot up and shoot, or he's coming down the floor and he's pulling up. But, I mean, like, he averaged 7 assists per game on that West Coast trip. I think he's starting to make reads that he wasn't earlier on in the season, from watching film and understanding where the players are going to be, and he doesn't have to just know they're there. I think he's making small improvement. I just think fans have to be patient, and I think the Bulls knew there was going to be a lot of patience with Coby White. You have to live through his mistakes, and he'll probably make mistakes all year, but I am starting to see a player start to make reads that he wasn't earlier in the year. I think that's all you could really ask for, yes, 11 games in.
Just before the season kicked off and before, well, really the preseason kicked off, and Billy Donovan revealed that Coby White would indeed start, I thought he might roll with Sato in the starting lineup to provide a little more defensive proficiency and maybe just have somebody more suited to be a facilitator. And I kind of made the prediction that Coby White would eventually find his way to the bench. But as we've had the season underway, I've kind of backed off a little bit and said, you know, it might be best to just let this roll with Coby White, because you do eventually have to see what you got and definitely see if you have somebody that could develop into, at the very least, a combo guard. You know, a guy like a Drew Holiday that, you know, can be the primary ball handler and a proficient or a decent enough facilitator. But really, at the end of the day, he's there to get buckets. And I'm fine with that as a Bulls fan.
Well, yeah, I also just think, I mean, the Bulls have to find out if Coby White and Zach LaVine combination is something they could work with moving forward. They obviously both want to score the ball, and I think it would help each other if one could, you know, handle the primary ball handling responsibilities and not have such a high turnover rate. But really, I just think the Bulls are just, like you said, they're truly trying to figure out what's going to work moving forward. I think they know Satoransky. They know what he is. They know what he brings to the table moving forward, but they also know he's not a long-term piece for them. So they really have to figure out between Coby White and LaVine who's going to work for them, or both are going to work at all.
Go back to Zach LaVine a little bit. I want to address a column from Joe Colley from the Chicago Sun-Times. And I know Joe Colley kind of elicits different reactions from certain people in the fan base. But he wrote a column that if the Bulls are smart right now, they use this performance from Zach LaVine and potentially catapult it into potential trade discussions. That way they can recoup some draft capital and try to find their way to getting back to championship contention. His argument was that you'll stay in a level of mediocrity with Zach. I'm not so sure how I feel about that. I feel like you better get a killer offer to make that happen. I don't know. I think that you just don't give away young scorers on team-friendly deals away just to recoup some draft capital. I feel like you have to get pretty solid return. Maybe it includes some draft picks, maybe include some young players, but I don't know. I'm not totally sold on that idea. Like, to me, Zach LaVine is either going to be a decent enough piece where you catapult into the playoff picture with him, or you're trading him to acquire some type of superstar caliber player that you have your eyes on down the road. What are your thoughts on Joe's take that maybe you start exploring those options right now?
I mean, I think the idea in a vacuum, the idea of trading LaVine is more than fair. But as far as Joe Colley, I'm not confident that's coming from an authentic place of improving the Bulls versus this is a hot topic that I know will be popular amongst Bulls fans, but, you know, regardless if it'll be positive or negative. And that's just kind of Joe's style. And I'm not here to really criticize that. You know, there's plenty of journalists who are like that. That is their approach to journalism. That's more than fine. But with that being said, is regarding LaVine, I don't think the idea of trading LaVine is silly. I'm totally with you. He's your best asset. So if you're going to trade LaVine, you need to get either lottery picks or some kind of asset where you have control over this player for at least the next 3-4 years, because you're trying to build with this player. But, you know, the problem, I think, with this idea of trading LaVine, they act like he is the main problem. I think the main problem with the Bulls is they have a roster asking LaVine to just do too much in the end. He's too turnover prone to handle the primary offensive responsibilities. And, yeah, you see some of his, things he's not good at become a little bit more to light. But I think this idea is as soon as they trade LaVine, everything will become better. I think that's silly. I just don't agree with that. But, you know, yeah, like you said, if we're depending on the return, I think any player is worth trading. The Bulls aren't a winning team with this roster, so you have to at least be open to improving it.
Yeah, and I agree with that take. And I made this point before we got into the season that this is a team to me that is, especially with its young core, you're looking at a team of potentially at their highest ceilings, number threes on a championship caliber team, and that's okay. Like, that means you have some pieces that you can maybe keep around for a bit, but, you know, maybe some of those guys end up in a deal where you can net better players. But in terms of turning the corner to championship contention, like, eventually you do have to have a dominant alpha dog to come in the room. And I don't think they have that yet, but certainly this is a kind of team that you want to grow this year and then see, all right, who stays, who goes. And to me, Zach is the type of piece that, again, you probably want to move to get an insane return on. So, like, maybe it is when you go to acquire that superstar, or as you said, somebody with cost control. So if there's somebody that is maybe a younger player with maybe slightly more upside, maybe he's only been in the league for a year or two, that might be somebody that is a little more intriguing because you might be able to tap into that player's potential and it's on a much cheaper contract. So, like, I don't know. I feel like you just can't trade him for the sake of wanting to get out of this rut. Because I've heard this from other people in Chicago, too. Like, Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score has said, you know, I hope Zach LaVine keeps scoring an insane amount of points so that they can trade him for a draft pick next year. Well, if it's not unprotected, why does it matter? Like, this is a really good draft class. You want to get as high in the lottery as you can. Why would you just give him away for nothing? I don't know. It better be a pretty good return if you're going to trade him.
Yeah, biggest question is how much better can Zach LaVine be? Has he reached his ceiling? Is he still growing? Is there another team out there that believes that he could be more than what he's shown? I don't think Zach has done anything this year to where his trade value is significantly better than what it was a month ago. So that's why I don't even really understand where this is coming from. I know he went on a little hot West Coast stretch. Everything Zach kind of showed us on that West Coast trip is pretty much what he's shown us his whole career. But yeah, I don't really get why it's just coming out of nowhere.
Well, and kind of what you were saying there about Joe Cowley, I remember he once said that he likes to play the role of the wrestling villain when he's covering teams. So this might be one of those times where he's doing that and trying to, you know, rile us up as Bulls fans. I wanted to ask you about Lauri Markkanen. So Lauri Markkanen is set to return soon. Are you welcoming this return knowing that, you know, he kind of came out of the gate playing pretty well offensively? Or do you think it could possibly hamper what they got going with this chemistry and the lineup combinations that Billy Donovan's established?
I don't think it will hurt really at all. I mean, it's not like the Bulls have had consistent lineup combinations through this winning, or there's not maybe winning stretch, but this stretch of better basketball play. And also, when Markkanen was playing, they were 0-3 and losing. I didn't think it was because really of Markkanen. The things that have improved over the last few days, it's just their offense is more comfortable. They're more comfortable within the offense. They're sharing the ball a lot better. They're getting themselves higher percentage shots. If Markkanen continues his great offensive performance that he was in those first four games, I don't see how that would hurt their offense any more than where it is right now. So I'm not too concerned about him ruining any chemistry. They will welcome it because they need bodies.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I agree with you on this too. Like, I actually want to see, now that the Bulls are in a rhythm, how can they get Lauri Markkanen into the groove too? And I think if you add Lauri to the mix, I think it could bode pretty well.
The one thing I worry about, I imagine he's going to take Gafford's minutes. I could see him maybe losing his rhythm. He's kind of played well the last few games or so. And so that kind of sucks for him. I mean, maybe they can figure out a way to get him some minutes, though. I'm not sure at the moment how it will work. But, yeah, I mean, that seems to be like the only casualty to me is that Gafford now might have to take a little bit of a back seat while he's playing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the one thing I was about to ask you, is who would get taken out of that bench rotation. So you think it's Daniel Gafford then that probably takes the biggest hit?
Yeah, well, you got to keep, you know, obviously Wendell starting, Lauri starting. Thaddeus Young has been great and helping you win games and more of a level than I think Gafford is. So it's just really the luck of the draw. I mean, maybe they can get him some minutes. I'm not sure yet, but he definitely will probably be the most effective.
Speaking of Thaddeus Young, I'm really digging this lineup they keep throwing in there with Temple, Thad. I feel like those two guys have really been key players off the bench. I'm really surprised with Garrett Temple. I thought maybe he was just sort of a throw-in guy this offseason, but I've been really impressed with the minutes he's contributed.
Yeah, you can really see why. It's funny, like when AK was talking about who he's going to pick up in free agency, he was like, I'm going to be picky. And then he signed Garrett Temple, and a lot of people were like, that's who you're going to be picky with. But you really see why he valued Temple. The guy just knows how to play. Yeah, he just knows how to play basketball. That's what the Bulls needed. And him, like you said, him and Thad, and even Otto when he was healthy before the back spasms. I mean, those three were just arguably their best two-way players out there, just giving you both ends effective play. I've loved Temple and really all the veteran play so far this year. Players seem to love him. And so it's just been a positive.
I kind of dig this one lineup they put in where they'll keep Temple in for defense, Otto, Patrick Williams, and they'll slide Thaddeus Young to the five. I kind of find that like a it's been an interesting lineup that's been working for them during some of these moments where they need to give Wendell and Zach breathers.
It's just the versatility that defensively that they just don't have without that lineup. I would say like their fourth quarter defense has been probably better than their first three quarter defense. It's a good lineup to be able to close with players who've been in the league for a while.
One thing that I had mentioned before you hopped on was that I thought this start of the season, when you looked at the schedule, you knew it was going to be a little rough. They faced some stiff competition coming out of the gate. But I get this feeling that if they ride a bit of a winning streak at the end of January, maybe early February, I think this team can get confident and really getting into the potential playoff competitive picture. Not necessarily getting into the top eight, but maybe within that play-in range at 9 or 10.
They definitely are playing basketball lately where you can see them competing for a playoff spot. I mean, you look at some of the bottom teams. I was going to say with how the season is going with injuries, you just never know. But one thing about this West Coast trip, you know, they played really well against good teams. The two LA teams are contenders, and the Bulls could have beat both of them. They're only getting better as the season goes along. It's just, I just wonder about their defense. Can their defense ever get to a level of not being a bottom 5-10 defense? Because their offense is great, but if their defense doesn't improve, the main thing I'm concerned about is you keep hearing about trading some of these veterans, Otto Porter Jr., Thad Young, and Tanner Anthony. These players are helping the Bulls win, so if that's the direction the Bulls want to go in, and, you know, try to get some assets for these veterans that they don't think will be here long term, that could really affect the Bulls, I would say, playoff chances moving forward. So I'm really interested to see what kind of direction the Bulls go in by the deadline. They want to keep some of these veterans that are helping them win, or do they decide that we need to get assets and that's what's more important for this season?
All right, so last question here. You are the Bulls GM, of course, on Twitter. If it were up to you, would you be trading off some of those veteran pieces at the deadline to try to recruit some draft capital, or are you going to let this ride?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I guess the biggest question is how far I think this Bulls team can go as is. And honestly, I think the best bet would probably be to move those assets, because at the end of the day, you're not a championship team this year. And really the only value in making the playoffs would be the experience, or maybe you could sell to future free agents. We're a playoff team, you know. I think at the end of the day, it's about maximizing your future for this young team. And if you can get good assets for players like Thaddeus Young who are in their 30s, I don't see how you can turn that down at all. And that goes for all the veterans, I would say. Otto Porter, Satoransky, these guys are heading to their 30s. If not in their 30s, they're not going to be a part of your future 3-4 years from now. If someone's giving you, you know, a good asset for it, you should probably take it.
Where can people find your thoughts? What's your Twitter handle again?
Bulls GM. It's at Ryan Borja, B-O-R-J-A. That's pretty much where it all is. And anything I say will be posted there.
I do recommend you as a follow because you do impart a lot of great wisdom during games. I really like, you know, seeing your stuff in the off season too, because you talk about, you know, cap ramifications, things like that. So it's always a good follow, and I do encourage it for Bulls fans. You're getting a really well nuanced and informative take. This is not just a normal fan spouting randomness like me. This is actually somebody who's really informed. So definitely give Ryan a follow. Ryan, thank you for coming on, and hopefully we can have you on again soon.
Of course, man. I appreciate you having me on. Much love, and thank you to everyone who listened.
Thank you for listening to the Reveal the Bull podcast. Be sure to check us out and subscribe on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you stream your podcasts.